Well, dear saints, yeah, I'm Michio, and I work with a group of brothers called Hiram Builders. And when we heard, 2015, I was invited to a breakfast with Andrew and Benson Phillips and some other brothers from Living Stream. And I do a lot of construction with those brothers, volunteer over the years, so I thought it was a construction meeting. So when I went there, it wasn't a construction meeting. It was a meeting on the building up of the body of Christ through the ministry. And these Living Stream brothers had said they noticed over the years, because they're Living Stream, they published the books, they noticed that the Holy Word for Morning Revival is a bestseller. But other books were not being sold that much. So they were concerned about diet. And I always use the analogy, the moms, they pack a good, healthy brown bag to school, and then it comes back. The lunchbox is opened, the sandwich is there, the apple's there. There's no cookie, but everything is not eaten. They're eating the cookie, but they didn't eat anything else. So in the same way, the Living Stream brothers were very concerned about the diet of the saints. It wasn't a financial need at all, but they were concerned, and that's where we, myself and there's five other brothers, we said, yes, brother, we'll present you our, with me, five barley loaves and two fish, but we'll go out there, and as the brothers invite us, we'll fellowship about this need. So that's kind of the background, and we're so glad that we got the invitation. And we're not here to give you any more demand. It's more of a reminder. You know, we already know we should be in the Word. We should, and we know that the publications really help us open up the Bible. So that's what we're doing. So there's nothing new, just a reminder. So we pray that there'll be no burden and demand on you. Probably at the end of our fellowship, I have a little thing called the tortoise wins the race. Amen. And it's very encouraging because Brother Lee's view is not so fast, but steady, little by little. And so for this session, we know the importance of getting into the ministry. And Brother Andrew Yu has an excellent video about the life studies. So let's start with that. It's 13 minutes, I believe.
I heard that some of you have initiated the program of reading through the life study messages. I am very, very happy to hear that, and I wish that all the young people, the working saints, and all the saints in general would get into the life study and read the life study messages. Brother Lee spent over 20 years in putting together this wonderful, wonderful volume, and it would be a big, big pity if in the Lord's recovery we know about it but have never read it. And that's why when I heard that some of you are subscribing or committing to a program of reading through the life studies, I am very, very supportive of this. I believe it was 6 or 7 years ago, I proposed that to some of the young people in the Far East. I said, well, you want to pick up the Lord's recovery? You want to be the ones that take over the baton of the Lord's recovery? Well, what is the baton? What is the baton? The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the truth. It's the recovery of what the Lord has given to us through the ministry. And what is the most important thing that the Lord has given us through this ministry? It's the truth. And so at that time, I challenged the young people there, if you would read through one life study message a day, then in 5 years, you would be able to finish the entire set of life studies from Genesis to Revelation, 1,984 messages. Well, guess what? Quite a number of young people took up the challenge, and 5 years was not a long time. Very quickly, the 5 years went by, and of course, a few dropped out, but there were quite a substantial number that were able to finish the entire life study. Now, think about all the investments that you made in life. Investment in health, investment in career. Most of them can go away. Investment in education. But investment of your time in the truth, they never go away. They never go away. And so if you talk about investment, that is the best investment that you can have. Now, to remind you a little bit of the winter training, the past training that we had, there is this message on Psalm 119. And it talks about all the wonderful things that we can do with God's word and how what God's word can do with us. And there are 26 points that Brotherly listed on how we can enjoy God's word. And the first point is that you have to choose. You have to choose God's word. A lot of people have the wrong concept when we say we need to enjoy God's word. They get the wrong idea that to enjoy means that we don't need to have any commitment, we don't need to have any efforts, we just sort of, it's like eating snack food. You just, it's just make you feel good. It's a feel-good experience. Well, the truth certainly makes you feel good, but it's like there's way to eat food and there's way to eat food. You know, the kids, they eat food today, it's a wrong way because they eat whatever they feel good to eat. And look what happened. All the kids that grow up, all kinds of sickness. Now, there's another kind of eating, and that is eat deliberately. Eat purposefully. You know, recently, I've been trying to take care of my eating, and I read something, I think it was the Greeks, that said that you eat your food like medicine, or else you eat your medicine like food. That means if you don't eat healthily, you will get sick, and then you will be living with medicine all your life. Okay, now take it to the realm of the truth. Truth is not just fast food. Truth is healthy food. And as healthy food, just like the food that you eat physically, healthy food is a matter of choice. Fast food is a matter of enticement. You sit there passively and then you get enticed to eat it. But for healthy food, you take the initiative, you exercise your mind, you exercise your will to do it. And so when we're talking about going through and reading through the life study messages, it's very enjoyable, extremely enjoyable. And by the way, for all of us, whether we are raising up a family, sisters, or building up a career, brothers, the bombardment of information that you receive, everybody is on an information overload these days. And what you need is really, you need to set aside some time so that you can have the healthy information, the healthy word to get into you. I suggest that if at all possible, that you do this by setting aside the time and by setting aside even a designated place. And it becomes a matter of, it gets to that point and you start doing it. And once you build up that habit, then it will be easy. Anything habitual is easy. And when you start doing that, then you will get so much more enjoyment out of it. Let me say a thing about the Holy Word. The Holy Word for modern revival is one of the best things that we have in the Lord's recovery, because all the saints can get into a little portion every day. But if you say, as long as I have read my Holy Word, I have done my obligation, I have satisfied my conscience, well, that will keep you alive. But to live a healthy physical life, it's not a matter of just being alive. It's a matter of being healthy. It's a matter of being healthy. And there's a big difference being alive and being healthy. And I don't want to see you just being alive. I want to see you being healthy. And when you see a young person physically healthy, you know, the facial expression is healthy, his muscle, his movement is healthy. Oh, how you celebrate life, how you feel, wow, that is wonderful. Well, the same thing with a Christian life. You can live a Christian living that is barely eking out your existence. You don't die. But there is another way, which is the way of being healthy. And that way is not to just live by so-called enjoyment, but through constitution. A few years ago, I tried to shift the saint's emphasis in just merely, quote-unquote, enjoying the word, to these three acronyms that I use, CAP for the cap, C for constitution, A for real appreciation, and then P for propagation. The word has to get into us to such an extent that it is constituted in us, it is being fully appreciated by us, and then we can be the propagators of the word, the constitution of the word, the appreciation of God's word, and then the propagation of that word in that order. Okay, finally, I'll just read you a few quotes from Brother Lee on how he thinks we should deal with the pursuit of the truth. Some say we should not be strict or legal in studying the word. A lot of people say that. They insist that we should read the Bible only when we are inspired by the Spirit to do so. This is like saying that there is no need to eat three meals a day, but a need to eat only when the Spirit inspires me. This means that if there is no inspiration, we should not eat. Paul, on the contrary, charges us to be eager. Young people, you do not realize how much hope and expectation I have of you. We do not know how long it will be before the Lord comes back. There is a need for all of us, especially the young people, to learn the truth and to practice it. It is not sufficient merely to seek the Lord, to love the Lord, and to grow in life. We also need to learn the truth. I urge you to get into the life study messages. You will be well nourished if you get into the book of Hebrews, for example, using the 60 or more life study messages as a guide to your study and research. Study and research. Find time every day, maybe half an hour, and you can probably cover the whole book of Hebrews in a month. Like a camel about to make a long journey through the desert, you will store a great deal of nourishment within you and so be helped to grow. So with that, I encourage you and I hope that you will receive a lot of blessing in this long journey. And the only way to survive is to be a camel.
So, good fellowship from our brother. When should we pass these out? Oh, they already have it. Okay, great. Okay. So, the four pillars of the Lord's recovery, we heard this maybe recently. Truth, right? Truth is all the real things concerning Christ and the church. And the church is the pillar and base of the truth. So if we're not constituted with the truth, then what are we? So that verse has been touching me a lot. And, of course, the cap, constitution, appreciation, and then your propagation. So the first pillar is truth. What does truth do? It brings in life, right? And then the life, we have so much life, it makes us the church. We are living, and we are burdened. We're filled with the word, the ministry that opens up the word, so we can't help but speak, or we can't help but even exude Christ. And that truth, life, church, and what is the church? Our commission is the gospel. We can't help but preach the gospel. We need to love the unbelievers and lead them to Christ. And we need to love our fellow Christians that are not in the Lord's recovery and minister life to them, right? And that's the gospel. So there's a gospel to the unbelievers and the gospel to the believers. So it's so important to have truth so we can have the life. The life produces a church that is living. And our commission, go therefore and disciple all the nations, amen, baptizing into the triune God, amen, and teaching them. There's two parts, right? Teaching them. Well, what are we going to teach them if we don't have a constitution? All we can say is, well, Jesus died for your sins, and you can be forgiven if you receive him. That's true. Or maybe we can say you're a vessel and you can be filled. Well, that's also true. But there's much more to this than we need to preach the high gospel. So without being constituted, there's no church that's living. And then it's really hard. It's one of the hardest things, isn't it, to go preach the gospel. And I usually try to have a habit of carrying a booklet in my pocket. Why was a pocket made, the brothers? To have a gospel track inside it. So, and the sisters with their purses. But this is a gospel track. Every 6 months is coming out. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. This one is just the dispensing of the triune God to produce his abode. They were selling this in Seattle. So I got my 50. And every 6 months, I get 50 more. So I budget 2 a week. So I pray in the morning, who's going to get this? Sometimes I'm carrying 2 because sometimes I realized, boy, I wish I had my other one. it was gone. But sometimes I don't give one out, but sometimes I know this is the person at the Home Depot or Safeway. This, because you just have a sense. Tuck them a little bit. And so this is for Christians. But the other one I carry is the Bibles for America. You know, those little flyers. Is Jesus in Your Boat? The Unknown God? Freedom from the Fear of Death? So anyway, I just got in a habit. Then it gets very easy. So when it's a habit, when I don't have my, I feel, uh-oh. Some things I didn't dress properly because I just got in a habit over so many years. The brothers in Anaheim encouraged us. So something that's habitual is easy, Andrew says. So we need a different kind of reading. You know? And Brother Lee says, if you just read the life studies or any of the ministry publications, well, he was talking about the life study. If we just read them like a newspaper, we get inspiration. Wow, that was great. But there's no constitution. But for constitution, the inspiration has to become perspiration, a little bit of labor. But we're not. Most of us are not job-dropping full-timers. So we have jobs. My daughter just had, I have three daughters, and one has a 3.5 months. Wow, lots of work raising babies. And then the one that's 8.5, still lots of work. So I know the mothers. Or if you're two people, they have to, you rent an apartment in D.C. or expensive. It takes two incomes almost, right? So I know the metro, all that. There's a lot going on in our lives. So we don't have that much time. But if we can just do a little bit more, that 30 minutes, I think Brother Dave will talk about it. But just maybe 3 10-minute blocks, just a little by little, a little bit. That's part of the burden we have. If we can just do a little bit, but in a concentrated time, keep up your Bible reading, but maybe we have to, for me, I need a schedule. If I fail to plan, then I'm planning to fail. That's what happens. It's the end of the day, and oh, now I'm going to read my Bible, and then I want to read my 10 pages, and it's really hard. So I try to set my alarm and 10, 3, and I force myself to stop my work and take time. So that 30 minutes can just be 3 10-minute times, but just to have a concentrated time to read. Well, ultimately, we want to become the living church, and this came in 1981. That's 38 years ago. Brother Lee was so burdened. 1985, he finished all the New Testament. So he's getting closer to the end of the New Testament life studies. And this has always touched me. And I put it on my wall, but about 3 years ago when we heard this burden, that impressed me more. I'm getting more burden. Can we just read this all together, beginning with the title? A Good Minister of Christ. Thank you. Last sentence, let us first be nourished ourselves and then minister the riches to all the people of God. So I think all the people of God could be believers or unbelievers because all people are God's people. God made them. But this is really, I think, related to the Christians. So that's why I have this habit of getting two of these out per week. But if I'm not enjoying, if I'm not filled, well, I have no heart to give this out. But if I enjoy in the morning, then I'm ready to give. And I like to highlight the juicy portions, so when I give it out, I can just read a sentence or two. And today we went to a restaurant real close to somewhere here, and there was Ethiopians, and she had a little cross. So a lot of Ethiopians were Christians, so I was going to try to read it, but she disappeared. But I told another waitress to give it to her. But we need to be nourished ourselves, so hopefully we want to talk about this, about being nourished. We have an outline. Can we read Roman numeral 1 together? Three verses there, and each in Acts. We have Acts 6:7, 12:24, and 19:20. And each of those verses has this term, and the word of God grew. But the word of God grew. Thus the word of God grew. Grew. And the word of God grew and multiplied. This is 12:24. 19:20, the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. And 6:7 really impresses me. It says, and the word of God grew, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied greatly. And a large number of the priests obeyed the faith. I mean, Japan is really hard to preach the gospel, but how about Jerusalem, the headquarters of the Jewish religion? But look what happened. Because the word of God grew, the number of the disciples in Jerusalem, that's what's touching me. Jerusalem, wow. You might be living in a tough neighborhood. Maybe they're all atheists, but I don't know. Jerusalem was a hard situation, but look what happened because of the word. We might think it was the Spirit doing so much, but no, it was the word. Because the word brings in the Spirit. Amen. And even the priests believed, obeyed the faith. So that's the power of the word. And the publications throughout the Lord's recovery have raised up over 80% of the churches. Did you know that? You know, and I was working last week in Boston on some housing projects, and I met this brother, and he reminded me, remember? You were reading a Watchman Nee book, and my mother saw it in the restaurant, and then that's how the church life started, in that city, in a little town, Weezer, Idaho. Just a little farm village. We had a project there, and we were there as engineers. And then out of that, another church, two little churches. But there again, the publications produce churches. Because, it brings in the life. Produces a church. Amen. You just can't help it. So this is why throughout history, the Lord uses the publications. And God began the publication work with the B-I-B-L-E, right? Amen. Just think, that was his publication work. Without the Bible, just think what, it'd be the Dark Ages. When it was locked up, became the Dark Ages. So the word is so crucial. And Acts is a testimony to that. The fact that the word of God grew and multiplied indicates that the believers in the churches were filled with the word and were one with the word. And Colossians 3:16, we know this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. To dwell in this richly, you just can't read it like a newspaper. Does a newspaper dwell in you richly? No. But the brothers that know the sports statistics, wow, they know the batting average, the rushing, so many touchdowns. They're in the sports section. They're constituted with that. So for the word to dwell in us richly, we need to take time, right? We need to labor in the word. And the word, the Bible talks about that. Those who labor in the word are counted of double honor, right? Labor is not just casually weeding, if you're going to labor in the garden, it's not casually pulling a few weeds, but boy, you're plowing and tilling and weeding, and it's a labor. So we know that. So let the word of God, Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. So eventually the word becomes grace in your hearts to God. We become constituted with this word. So constitution is different from just merely knowing the content. And some of you older ones might remember. Brother Lee would just, in his older age, he would say, I'm just going to read an outline. So he'd read an outline. And after that outline was read, you know, it took maybe the whole meeting, after 70 minutes, wow, we were filled with life and faith, right? Because he was constituted. Then maybe you saw this or not, but another brother, man, then I would read the same outline. It was good, but there was not much constitution, so the effect is different. So the constitution is different from just repeating content. Although it's good to be a tape recorder, Brother Lee said that, to repeat him. But it's much more, there's much more of a testimony and impact and life infusing when there is constitution, not just repeating the content. So that's my burden about the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, right? It takes some constitutions to do that. So let's read B together. In order. Amen. And we become God's word. That touched me in this outline. And in Acts 14:3, the verse there is, therefore they spent a considerable amount of time speaking with boldness in the Lord. So considerable amount of time. That means they were constituted with that. I know some brothers, they don't have so much notes, they just start speaking, right? Because they're constituted. And so that's because they spent a considerable amount of time in the Word, so then they can speak for a longer time, and they have boldness in the Lord who testified to the Word of His grace by granting signs and wonders to be done through their hands. Eventually, they're doing, these brothers, they're almost like, they're becoming God's representative, like Paul in the book of Acts. So wonders are being done through, not God's hand, through the hands of the disciples. And 20, the other reference, 32, I'll read 31. It says, therefore, watch, remembering that for 3 years, this is Paul, night and day, I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. That shows constitution, right? Night and day with tears. So, and then it says in verse 32, and now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. So, Paul is committing them to God and to the word of his grace. Word of his grace. It's coming through Paul. And on one hand, he's almost God's representative. And so it's not committing him to a God far away, but who he is touching these the saints. So on C, the truth is nowhere but in the Bible. But the Bible needs an opener. And I was in this hotel. You all saints, I'm in a hotel. I opened the drawer. What did I find in the drawer? Bible, of course, the Gideons. Praise the Lord for their vision, their faithfulness. I did this in Japan years ago. We were traveling with Brother Lee, so I was in this hotel and right next to Brother Lee, just take care of any kind of emergency. And I thought, I'm going to do this Bible test because in Japan, boy, there's less than 1% Christians. So 1,000 people, maybe you find 10, maybe 10 Christians. It's just been a very difficult country, so you can remember to pray for my homeland. But I tried the drawer test. There was a Bible. There was also a Buddhist thing in there too. But but anyway, see, the Bible is there, but is it an open Bible? No. Psalms 119, verse 130. The opening of your word gives light. Yeah, and I was at a Bible study last night, and they were studying, just a Christian Bible study, and I was invited there. So they were reading Matthew chapter 3. They read it, and then they were having a Bible study. They were all giving their interpretation, and they were struggling. I checked this commentary and that commentary, and they were really struggling. I just couldn't say too much. I didn't have the liberty. But, somebody was saying, hey, the kingdom of God is Jesus. Look what it says in Luke 17. So I use that to share a little bit. But the ministry publication, they open up the word, don't they? Light just pours. It just causes you. They don't replace the Bible. During one of the rebellions, we had an accusation. We're replacing the Bible. But no. The ministry publication, the life, they caused me to love the Bible. Amen. I wanted to go to the Bible more. Amen. And I love the Lord. I love the church. Amen. So, so they don't replace the Bible, but they really open up the Word. So, let's read D. We should immerse ourselves in the ministry of the age. Acts 6:4 is referenced there, but we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. So to be immersed in something, it takes time to be. So we need to be steadfast in the prayer and in the ministry of the word. And betroth you to Christ. How did Paul betroth us to Christ? You know, I was thinking about that. But 1 Corinthians 11:2 talks about that. For I'm jealous over you with the jealousy of God, for I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. How does that happen? When we read the Bible, yes, but when the Bible is opened up to us through the betrothing ministry, Watchman Nee, Witness Lee, it causes us to love the Lord, doesn't it? So it's in the... We're betrothed to Christ by the fellowship from our brother. The publications, it's a betrothing ministry. I don't think I really loved the Lord in Christianity until I came to the recovery and started reading the books, reading the word with the books. Wow, I started loving the Lord and as my bridegroom. So it's really a betrothing ministry. So we really need this ministry. Betrothed us to Christ. In 2, it says, the elders in the churches need to enter into the truth and be good mothers who teach the saints in the local churches. Then every church will be a scholarly family. When we open our mouths, a scholarly fragrance will be there. I'm just going to go because of time. I hope that every church, although it says elders, he first tells the elders, but then eventually they're just the leading brothers. Then we all need to follow. So it applies to us, especially all of you that came out on Saturday. You're all the leading ones in your little group, your house, whatever. You need to lead the ones you're shepherding. I hope that in every church, each household would teach the truth and study the truth. If every brother and sister in the church would do this, we all we would all become a house of scholars, and whatever we utter would be a scholarly composition. These are quotations from Brother Lee. And Acts 2:42, we know they continued steadfastly in apostles' teaching and fellowship. Right? That's the early church. And it was prevailing because of that. The saints can place a copy in various places within their homes, on their dining table, on their nightstands, on their bathroom counters, and in their kitchen to make enjoying the Lord's word in every place convenient for all the members of their family and even for their guests. Sometimes you see a magazine, National Geographic, you're visiting and you read that. How about putting out some of our publications? I've seen that. I went to somebody's bathroom and there was a booklet, so I just grabbed it. Got a few sentences, and even a few sentences sometimes. Wow, right? So rather than having everything all neatly hidden away in our master bedroom like I did, my library was in the master bedroom. I say, what am I doing? So I moved everything out to the family room, and then a new one says, wow, all these books. Did you read all these, Brother Mitchell? I said, no. But I want to. But she was so impressed by all the riches. So we should lay them out, right, for others. Every saint will become a scholar when we go out to speak the truth, we will be knowledgeable and able to clearly and logically present the truth. Sometimes I don't speak so long, or I'm long because I'm not so clear. Right? But if you're clear about something, a few words, and you can really impart some life at the right time. So this is what, and every saint, we all can do this, but it takes time. CAP, right? There's constitution, appreciation, then we can propagate, either by written or just a few words. So we should, let's read Romans 3 together. We should help the saints. So that's 30 minutes of quality, a little bit more of labor type, not just reading your daily Bible reading, although that's good. So Brother Lee talks about even 3 10-minute periods, and he says even if it took 5 years, 10 years to get through the New Testament, he said that would be wonderful. So you see his view is completely different. We are just stop and go, fast food, drive through. No, we need to take time. So it is not a matter of quantity, but a matter of, let's read that word, endurance. We must endure this kind of Bible. It is a labor. When I watch my daughter feeding the babies, wow, it's a labor. But boy, this baby is growing about a pound a week. Wow, just by eating mother's milk. So sometimes the elders need to give the saints some direction, some encouragement, and some incentive. And I know the brothers in your churches here are doing that. You have Bible reading schedules. You're reading different ministry books. So that's very good. But we can, anyway, continue that. Let's see. Just backing up a little bit. In Acts chapter 8:1, you know, there was a great persecution. And all the disciples were scattered throughout all the places. And this is not on your verse, I don't think, but in Acts 8:4, the scattered saints, they went everywhere announcing the word as the gospel. But the apostles, they stayed in Jerusalem. So that shows you another, it's another verse I just saw last night or Thursday. That those disciples were scattered. God sent a persecution. They were scattered, the disciples. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. But these disciples, because they had the cap, they were constituted, they were the ones announcing the gospel, the word as the gospel. Just read that, 8:1 and Acts 8:4. It's very impressive. So we all don't depend upon Brother Ron. We appreciate their portion and Ed, but we all, according to the time we have, the energy we have, and our environment, right? We should try to put on our cap. And so Brother Lee says, even 30 minutes. And so I'm going to close with a tortoise we had a camel and we have a tortoise. But you know, I'm closing. But I hope we could pick up that burden all together. If we could do that, each one of us, 30 minutes, my, it would be, Brother Lee says, it would bring in a big revival. So, not only personally, our group meetings, in our church life. Okay. The tortoise wins the race. This is 1984 Elders Training, Volume 3. Page 151. It's also in the collected works. But it says, a diligent seeker of the Lord could possibly finish the entire New Testament by studying 2 hours a day for 2.5 years. We don't have, not too many of us have 2 hours a day. If the church, however, took 7.5 years to get through the entire New Testament, this would still be wonderful. Never forget the race between the hare and the tortoise. The tortoise wins the race. If we will keep going slowly, we will win the race. All the running ones will be defeated, but the working ones will win the race. We need to eat regularly, continuously, and slowly. I advise you not to go too fast, but to go slowly. You will then reach the goal. If we had started this practice 10 years ago, we would have finished the entire New Testament already. Even if we get through half of the New Testament, you will see that you are different. Also, if the entire church could get through half of the New Testament, the church would be different. So this is an encouragement to us just to build up a habit. And of course, we might say we don't have an appetite, but it's okay. Because our appetite comes and goes, but if we have a habit, the habit will trump our appetite, right? So, amen.
Well, Saints, I don't know if this is fully necessary, but just to kind of share, on Tuesday night, we had a phone call with the two brothers responsible, and the brother just said, you know, David, I'll likely have to be recovering from jet lag because he took an overnight red eye. So can you please share concerning during this time? And certainly, this is not my first time. I've actually traveled with the brothers on 3 occasions, so I'm not unfamiliar. But I think the benefit here is to know our, one benefit is we actually know the local situation, so the sharing can be very specific to the local need. But before that, I just wanted to say 2 things that needs to be touched, so that doesn't open the ground for anything negative. And the first one is that's very important. When we talk about the truth and the brothers visiting concerning the truth, we're not making this a thing in the church life. We need to realize even when we share concerning matters like baptism, water baptism, baptism in the Spirit, prophesying. Everything is linked to God's economy, even the matter of pursuing the truth. If we ever separate any of these matters apart from God's economy, actually it becomes divisive, even a good thing, a scriptural thing, but it'll begin to divide the saints so that in one locality you may say, I am for the campus work. Another group in the same locality, I am for the truth, because the Truth Brothers visited this weekend. Another group might be something else. I think you know what I mean. But a lot of things are coming in because the body needs everything, but we're not going to make a thing of it of itself. So we need to connect everything back to God's economy. Amen. And like our brother faithfully presented, the pillars of the Lord's recovery are truth, life, church, and the gospel. And this is why is the truth so important related to God's economy? Because we need to see the relationship between truth and life. Both truth and life are the Lord himself. The truth is the outward definition and explanation. Life is the inward and intrinsic content. In order to know the Lord as life, we must know the Lord as truth. So in order for us to experience Christ as life, we actually need to know the truth. So the order is truth, and then life will follow. You can't have life without the truth. This is why the Lord has not been able to build up anything, just for just an example here, in Pentecostal, this kind of division, denomination, is because they rely absolutely and wholly on the Spirit apart from the Word. The Spirit is like a phantom, it's abstract, it's not concrete, tangible, and it does not have the proper outward definition and explanation. So we realize that, as Brother Andrew shared, in terms of the Lord's recovery, it's the recovery of the truth first, then life, church, and the gospel. Okay, second point that's important to point out so that there's no confusion is the relationship between the Bible, truth, and ministry. Okay, these are not all synonymous. There's actually distinction between them. The Bible surely is the Word of God. In the Bible, there is the truth that is the reality in the universe. So there are many truths in the Bible. But we need to realize that we need a ministry to know the truth that is in the Bible. So just like our brother shared, there's a lot of things going on out there, so-called ministry. So the Gideons, that's one ministry. And I read somewhere, Brother Lee says we need to have the proper attitude. We're broad. We realize God is also broad, and he will use all these things that are going on, regardless of any denomination, whether this and that, Gideon, this and this, whatever they're doing, God is broad, and he can honor that and get people saved and so forth. He can do a lot. So those are all ministries. But what we have in our possession is what we call the ministry of the age. So for something to be of the age, this is a bold statement, but the basic factor is this: they need to know what kind of special work the Lord is doing in the present age at this time. And the age that we're living in is not 2019, but really it's what the Lord began in 1922 with our brother Ni and our brother Lee. We need to realize the reason the Lord went to China was not primarily because of the incomplete Christian teaching, but actually it was in the practice of the church had become spoiled. You had in Europe not only the Catholic Church, you had the state churches, and you also had the denominations. Same thing in the U.S. So there was no way for the Lord to start the proper church life for his expression on the earth. That's why he needed to go to China and begin something new. So our age is not only the recovery of the all-inclusive Christ as our life, but also as the recovery of the church, beginning with the ground of the church for the building up of the body of Christ. But this is why whenever we say the ministry, we're not, like our brother shared, we're not replacing the Bible. The ministry brings, communicates, transmits, unveils the vision of the age, the truth in the Bible. And like our brother said, the more we see that, the more we appreciate the Word, we treasure the Word. So the Word, the truth, and the ministry, they're not synonymous, but they need one another. There's a dynamic relationship. Okay. So with that said, only because I'm not going to cover the whole outline, but because I know of the local situation, what do we need in the localities here? But I can't be that bold to speak the other one, so I'll just speak specifically Dunloring, and then we'll see if there's an echo in the other churches, but specifically here. Two things. Number one is a particular verse, Philippians 2:20-21. Okay. For I have no one like-souled who will genuinely care for what concerns you. For all seek their own things, not the things of Christ Jesus. Okay. Like-souled. And I think if anyone, a few of us attended the conference, Memorial Day Conference in Seattle, it's actually the last message. Brother Ron gave the last message. But we need to realize within the ministry of the age, there is actually a soul here. It's not just dead, black and white letter. It's not just print. It's not doctrine. Actually, the ministry is very living. There's like a soul here because it was presented by ministers of the age who were constituted like the early disciples to present to us the revelation in the Bible. We need to realize and we need to enter into this ministry with our whole being and actually become like-souled with the ministry. This is why whenever the brothers present this, when Brother Andrew presents this, he says, brothers, It cannot be left up to inspiration. It needs to be deliberate. I just take that from the brothers and enter into the same spirit and echo that. We need to be one with the brothers, that this needs to be a deliberate matter. My whole point is this, is because this session is mainly on constitution. The next session is mainly on service, the book service. So that one's more activity, but this one is mainly our person and our constitution. And how are we going to lead the saints into this matter? It's not a matter of placing things outwardly, but it's going to be through the patterns that are raised up in the church by their constitution. And the impact of their presence, the persons, would actually stir up the others to pursue the same thing. This is why I'm reminded, you know, Brother Ron shares this often, when he met Brother Lee, and the first thing he said was, you know, he was quite remarkable seeing someone speaking with no self. Then he said two things. First one, he had the realization. He had respect for this one because he realized for this one to speak in this way, there was a tremendous cost to stand there and speak in this way. But the second one was, I want to take the same way that this brother has taken. So how will we truly, I have no heart. Some brothers ask, you know, what should we do afterwards? Is it a reading schedule? Well, however the brothers fellowship, but me personally, I have no heart to just put something on the saints. But actually, we'll pray, this will be the first point, but to pray that the Lord in my locality with all the brothers will stir up an appetite and a hunger in all these saints, but to also raise up the patterns that will go before us. So with that, let's read, won't cover every point, but let me just read a few of them, okay? So 4, as leading brothers, try your best in your locality to stir up an atmosphere and to create a hunger and thirst in the saints after the Lord's truth. There's a fellowship Brother Nige gave. He says, the foremost condition for spiritual progress is hunger. Without hunger, actually, we can never advance. So the prerequisite to any kind of advancement in any matter is to have a hunger and thirst. So I am also burdened that all the leading ones should have a real burden to pray for the saints in their locality, that the Lord may stir up their interests, their seeking heart, and their spirit to seek after the Lord in his truth. So you might ask, you know, after this weekend, just three, you know, a few hours, how should we begin? Actually, it's very simple. We can pray for one another. Lord, stir up the hunger and thirst in the saints for your truth. One, you do not seem to care whether this is a dying matter or a living matter. Two, you leave the matter of the saints getting into the life studies altogether up to them. Three, this way of getting into the truth has become an orphan with no father and no mother, with no fostering. This has been the situation in some of the local churches. Actually, this is one of the reasons we're so burdened, because we realize, how do we care for this matter? It's just kind of just gone the wayside. Is it, you know, sometimes we're afraid to initiate anything because we don't want to, you know, we want everything to be quote organic, not sure what to do. But as a result of that, I think, I don't want to say the enemy, but passivity has come in, and we don't know what to do, right? The saints are now left up to their own. How do you get in? It's all up to the saints. I think this is wrong too. One hand, we can't go too far to the extreme. We're not here to lord it over another. We're not here to demand anything. But I think on the other side, it's been too much passivity, leaving everything to the saints. So this is why I'm thankful that we have actually a larger number than I think we expected. But this matter that we can start considering and enter into our consciousness, the matter of getting into the truth needs to be something more deliberate rather than leaving it to the saints. Okay. The elders need, so this applies to us, need to read more, especially the Bible and the life studies. If they take the lead to read, the brothers and sisters will follow. Hence, the elders need to take the lead to learn the truth. You just think, the minister of the age, beginning his service in the Lord's recovery, 1932, passing in 97, 20 years of his life was given for the life study. What is that? I mean, what does that mean? That just clearly shows the Lord, his burden was to release these matters. We need to be faithful to enter these things, okay? We must have a proper attitude and be positive and aggressive, doing our best to urge people to read his word. We need to lead the saints into the real, right, and proper realization of the need of the Bible and also of the help of the life study messages and the recovery version. Okay, this is the main point. This kind of segues into our next section, okay? The most important burden of the book service is not to care for the inventory of books, but to study, okay? That's to study the situation in a locality and find a way to spread every book into all the homes. You might think, oh, that's not a big deal, right? Spread books into the homes. But actually, we just aim in this. We need to spread every book into all the homes of the saints in your locality. And once the books are in the homes, to find a way to deposit their contents into the saints' hearts. In this way, the Lord's truth will spread widely, and there will be a real revival. I wish to live on this earth and witness with my own eyes the truth of the Lord, not only being printed in books through our hands, but also being sent through us to every part of the world and prevailing in every place. I absolutely believe that this will hasten the Lord's return, because it is through this that the Lord will prepare his bride. Okay, so Roman numeral 6 is tomorrow's fellowship in the morning. 4, the book service is next. But I just want to end in this last one. Roman numeral 5 has said, in this way, the Lord's truth will spread widely, and there will be a real revival. Amen. In our history, in the Lord's recovery, and this is mainly according to what I've learned from Brother Minoru, there has been 6 revivals that we can trace in our history. First one is 1923. And that revival came in when Brother Nee released the truth concerning the assurance of salvation. If you read the Ministry Digest, it goes over the history of this different ones who visited China. But actually, it was not until Brother Nee released the truth there that there was a revival in his hometown of Fuzhou. The next one is 1935. Actually, 34 was a significant year of the release of the truth. There was the conference on but it was in 35, the release concerning the overcoming life of Christ that brought in a revival in Chifu, where Brother Li was. And from there, that revival in Chifu was the second revival that we can trace in our history. The third one was in 1939. That's not the year of the revival, but in 1939, Brother Nee began to release the truth concerning the reality of the body of Christ. So Brother Lee took that to Chifu and began to practice that in his locality. And he can testify, you can find in the books, he had the burden to now remain in that locality to build according to the blueprint of what our brother released in those messages. And that was a revival there in Chifu during that time, 1942. In 1948, the fourth revival is when Brother Li was in Shanghai when he ministered along the line of the Tree of Life. And through that revival, Brother Ni was brought in back to his service after being gone for 6 years. And from that revival flowed into Taiwan when he was sent there in 1949. Revival number 6 was the Eldon Hall. And that was a matter of the truth coming into the U.S. and the recovery of a lot of the life practices. What is my whole point? It's because before the Lord will bring in a revival, there actually he precedes it by his speaking in his ministry every single time. And we know that our brother has led us that there is going to likely be just one last revival, the final revival, the last revival, the new revival. And do you remember what are the 3 elements to the new revival? It's the recovery of the high peak of the divine revelation, the God-man living, and the shepherding according to God. Amen. But the first and foremost is the recovery of the truth of the high peak of the divine revelation. So we realize for the Lord to advance, he always advances by his speaking and by his truth. This is why we need to give ourselves and allow the Lord to work these truths into us to be our constitution. Amen. And the appreciation will follow, and then the propagation. And I think our localities will be revived and there will be the genuine living of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Well, saints, maybe we'll just kind of pause there. Because of time, we're not going to have overflow for this first session, but maybe we can do it for the second session, okay?